Blog Talk Radio.
In the studio with me today. Praise the Lamb of God on this beautiful Valentine's Day. I hope romance is in everybody's life that desires it. Praise the Lamb of God. And for those of you who don't, look for it. Praise the Lamb of God. It's a beautiful thing. Praise the Lord when the Lord sends you a special someone, a significant other, someone. Praise the Lamb of God in your life. But if you don't have anyone, I want to tell you this today. Praise the Lamb of God. Jesus loves you. Hallelujah. And praise the Lamb of God. If you have someone, I'm going to tell you something else. Jesus' love is greater than their love. Praise the Lamb of God. For no one can love you like Jesus can love you. He loves you. He loves you so much. Praise the Lamb of God that he died trying to show you just how much he loved you. Praise the Lord. We give him praise and glory today. Always this show is to honor and to glorify God. It's his show, not our show, not my show, not your show. is God's show, praise the Lamb of God, and we allow him to show out as much as he desired to on this day. It's Word Day on the page, praise the Lamb of God, and people are posting all kinds of passages of scriptures that's surrounded by love today, and the love of God is in the air if you can accept it, praise the Lamb of God. Don't walk around depressed today. Don't walk around with your head down. Walk around with your head up, praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah, and allow the love of God to fill your heart. Praise the Lamb of God. Fill those empty spaces. Fill your voids and recognize, praise the Lamb of God, that his love woke you up this morning. His love caused your eyes to open. His love gave you the power to rise from your bed. Recognize that Jesus loves you. His arms is all around you, even right now. Praise the Lamb of God. Oh, how he loves us. He loves us, he loves us, he loves us, people of God. And we must come into the frame of mind of recognizing just how much that Jesus loves us. And praise the Lamb of God, his love did not end at Calvary. Praise the Lamb of God, his love did not end at Calvary. He still loves you. He still loves you and I. He still is doing things to prove that love to us. Praise the Lamb of God. I give him glory today. My hands are lifted even right now while I'm speaking to you. Hallelujah. Stretch to the heavens. Why? Because I love Jesus Christ. Praise the Lamb. No matter what I've been through and what I've gone through, the Lord has always brought me through. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He still pays bills. He still make ways out of no ways. Praise the Lamb of God. He's still doing a wondrous work in my life. Do you love him today? If you love him today, come on and enjoy this with me today.
redemption by the grace in his eyes. This grace is a notion we're all sinking. So heaven meets earth like a sloppy wet kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest.
Love the Father has for us.
His presence, his love is so thick and tangible in this room tonight. And there are some of you here that have not encountered the love of God. And tonight, God wants to encounter you and wants you to feel his love, his amazing love. Without it, these are just songs, these are just words, these are just instruments. Without the love of God, it's just like we're just up here just making noise. But the love of God changes us, and we're never the same. We're never the same after we encounter the love of God. We're never the same after we encounter the love of God. And right now, if you haven't encountered the love of God, and you would know, because you wouldn't be the same. You would never be the same again. And if you want to encounter the love of God right now, you better just brace yourself, because he's about to just blow in this place. And we're going to encounter the love of God right now. So God, I speak to all the hearts, and I ask God that every heart be open right now. Every heart be open. Every spirit be open up to you, God.
My God, what a wonderful God we serve. What love the Father has for us. Praise the Lamb of God. We give him praise and honor and glory in this place. I feel the Spirit of the Lord. Praise the Lamb of God moving on the altar of my heart. Praise the Lamb. And I thank God for each of you that is tuned in today. If you're listening to our show via the internet and you would like to be a part of our live studio, we do have an exciting show coming up. Praise the Lamb of God. Hot discussion on that love thing. Praise the Lamb of God on relationships and things of that nature. What we've been talking about this week, praise the Lord, this being the Valentine's week, we decided we'll take a turn and talk about it because prophetic people need love. Hallelujah. You can say anything you want to say. You need love. Praise the Lamb of God. And we need to be in order for love. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you're listening to me via the internet and you want to call in and be a part of our live studio, please do so at area code 646-564-9818. Area code 646-564-9818. Praise the Lamb of God. And then while you're in queue, if you want to talk, if you want to speak concerning the topics and things of that nature, you can push 1 on your dial, praise the Lamb of God, and then you will have access, praise the Lamb of God, to the show. Oh, my God, what a wonderful God we serve. God is just awesome in our lives today. People of God, he has done so much. He's doing so much until all we can do is lift our hands and say hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of God. He keeps making a way out of no way. Praise the Lamb of God. His provision and our portion is a daily portion. Praise the Lamb. I was reading that in my commentary this morning. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. How the king gave a ration, a portion, a daily portion. Praise the Lamb of God. Until Jehoiakim gave a daily portion. Praise the Lamb of God. And that's all you need is a daily portion. Praise God. Hallelujah. What's happening in June? Hallelujah. Will take care of itself in June. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. God provides for us. He gives us our daily bread, and we thank God for, hallelujah, all that he does. If our faith is intact and we believe that, we will see God doing some mighty, magnificent things on our behalf. I love him today. I know you love him. Praise the Lord. Be blessed, be blessed, be blessed today as we continue in the show. My God, it's prayer time. Praise the Lamb of God. And we have one of our awesome, awesome, awesome prayer warriors here in the mix with us. And we thank God for her today. Praise the Lamb of God in the person, hallelujah, of Denise Conyers. Praise the Lamb of God. Thank you, DC, for being here. Hallelujah. How you doing today?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you, Prophet? Happy Valentine's Day. Let me say that.
Thank you. You know what? You're the first verbal Valentine's Day I received today. Praise the Lamb.
Hallelujah. Wow.
Of course, you know, I got texts down the wazoo from people expressing love. Praise the Lamb of God.
Yeah.
This is the first verbal, other than the Lord telling me he loved me. He didn't say happy Valentine's Day. Praise the Lord. But he did tell me that he loved me today. Hallelujah. happy Valentine's Day to you, Denise. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Pray that your day is being blessed and filled with love from those around you. And I just think, praise the Lamb of God, Denise, when love is in the air, praise the Lamb of God, then love is everywhere. It's not directed to one person and from one person, but it's everywhere. Love is everywhere. I love all of those, all of our administrators, all of our intercessors. Praise the Lamb of God. Happy Valentine's Day to each of you. I love each and every one of you. To now over, praise the Lamb. I don't even know how many members we have anymore. I know it's way above 1,000. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. I love each and every one of you. Truth Christian Assembly, you know it. You know it. You know it. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. That I love you today. The best church on this side of heaven. I love you today. I love you today. And I thank God for each of you and all that you do. Praise the Lord. All right, people of God. Hallelujah. We're going into our prayer mode right now, right now. Praise the Lamb of God. And Denise Conyer is going to lead us there to the throne of grace. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Come on, Denise.
1 John 3, And one says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called children, children of God. And such we are. For this cause, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it is not yet made manifested what we shall be. We know that if he shall be manifested, we shall be like him, for we shall see him even as he is. Father, we come today just to thank you, oh God. God, we thank you that you kissed us, Lord God, this morning with your gentle finger of love, grace, and mercy, Lord God. God, what manner of love that you would bestow upon us, Lord God. God, that you would even call us these sinners, Lord God, us your sinners, to be your children, Lord God. God, and for that today, we tell you, thank you, Lord God. God, we thank you, Lord God. God, that you loved us so much, Lord God. God, that you laid down the life of your only begotten Son, Lord God. God, that we, Lord God, God, will be rectified with you, Lord God. God, in right standing, Lord God. God, and for that we are grateful, Lord God. God, we love you, Father. We come to pledge our love to you and you alone, Lord God. God, we come to stand in your holy presence, Lord God. God, casting away, Lord God. God, selfish in love, Lord God. God, but we come standing, Lord God. God, with First Corinthians 13, Lord God. God, when you give us, Lord God, God, our illustration, the characteristic of love, Lord God. God, you said that it does not envy, it does not boast, it's not prideful nor rude, Lord God. God is not seeking its own, Lord God. God, but it's patient and it's kind and gentle, Lord God. God, that we're to put others before us, Lord God. God,
yes,
for that today, we tell you, thank you, Lord God. God, that we send out your love, Lord God. God, your agape love, Lord God. God, despite the flowers and the trinkets that we can get, Lord God, God, it's your agape love that found us, Lord God. God, when we were in a place of sin, Lord God. And we thank you today, oh God. God, we thank you, Lord God. God, that you wrapped us, Lord God. God, in your cloth, in your mantle of love, Lord God. God, and because of that, we are eternally grateful, Lord God. God, we spread love, Lord God. God, we no longer spread gossip, Lord God. God, but we spread love, Lord God. God, touch our hearts, Lord God. God, and where there may be hatred, Lord God. God, we ask you, Lord God, God, to purge our hearts, Lord God. God, that we can love like you love, Lord God. God, that we can give even when our enemies, they come up against us to eat up our flesh, Lord God. God, we will show love and mercy, Lord God. God, because you said that people will know us by our fruit, Lord God. God, we're to look like you, walk like you, and talk like you, Lord God. God, and you love us, Lord God, unconditionally, Lord God. God, we pray for that man and that woman that may feel left out today, Lord God. God, we pray your blanket of love will find them, Lord God. God, and begin to minister like never before, Lord God. God, we pray for that child, that boy or girl, Lord God. God, that don't understand what agape love is, Lord God. God, that
yes,
you will begin to show them, Lord God. God, because you love us so much, Lord God. God, that you give. And you keep on giving, Lord God. God, and for that today, we are grateful, Lord God. God, we pray for that sick person that's laying on their bed of affliction,
hallelujah,
Lord God. God, that feels like there is no love, no hope, Lord God. God, we pray that your love will come in, Lord God. God, that the smoke of your glory will enter the hospital rooms, Lord God. God, the convalescent homes, Lord God. God, those that are in prison, Lord God. God, and it will break the heart, the callous heart, Lord God. God, free today, Lord God. God, because freely you gave and freely we shall give, Lord God. God, let us show love like never before. Let us show someone that don't know you, Lord God.
God, what your love is, Lord God. God, and for that we tell you thank you, Lord God. God, we bless you for what you're doing, Lord God. God, you're doing a new work, Lord God. God, you're calling us to love, Lord God. God, unconditionally, Lord God. God, and for that we tell you thank you, Lord God. God, we bless you, we honor you, and we praise you, oh God, for what it is that you're going to do today. In Jesus' name, amen.
My God, what a powerful prayer. What a wonderful prayer, fervent prayer from Denise Conyers there in Washington, D.C. And we thank and praise God for her and all of our other intercessors and those that were praying along with her. Our God is an awesome God. Praise the Lamb of God. The works of prayer cannot be refuted. God has worked so much through our prayers until it can't be refuted. Praise the Lamb of God. All right, let's get our panel discussion together. Praise the Lamb of God. I tell you what I need. I need Brett to pop one. Praise the Lamb of God. Come on, Brett. Where are you, man? Stand up and be counted today. Praise the Lamb of God. Where is Brett? All right. I have to have, you know, a couple of guys on the panel. Praise the Lamb of God. Any other men who want to be on the panel, I need at least one more man to push one. One more man. Praise the Lamb of God. Pastor Brett. Gil, praise the Lamb of God. I don't know, I ain't heard from Jermaine in a week or two. Praise the Lamb of God. One man, if there's another man, you can push one on your dial. Praise the Lamb of God and join us in this love discussion. All right, now, praise the Lamb of God. Brett, you're there?
Hey, Prophet. Happy Valentine's, my brother. You know I love you.
Hallelujah. Love you too, man. Valentine's Day to you, and I hope the love is circulating through the home there with the children and your wife. And
that
love is spreading abroad. Matter of fact, praise the Lamb of God, does Stephanie have her own phone today?
Yeah.
Well, tell her to pop one on the button. Praise the Lamb of God. Where is Stephanie?
You listen.
Hallelujah. Tell her to push one on her dial and we can cue her in since she is the lead discussioner today. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. All right. Now, it would be unfair. Praise the Lamb. Wait a minute. Let me show Stephanie. Hello, Stephanie.
Hello, Prophet. Happy Valentine's Day. Thank you.
All right. Praise the Lord. Now, if there's one more person, I need one more woman. I need one other woman. Praise the Lamb of God to push one on your dial because Stephanie might need some backup here. Uh-oh. Somebody that popped it quick. I knew that wasn't going to take much. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. 708 area code, who's calling?
This is Sandra. Good morning, Prophet.
Oh, Lord.
Happy Valentine's Day, guys.
Hey, Sandra, now, you sure you want to jump in this conversation on love?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Sandra, listen.
Yes.
Was you on here yesterday?
No, I wasn't. I had to take care of some business yesterday.
Okay, Sandra, well, I'm just telling you now, we are ready. This is prefabbed already. I mean, we had a show on love and relationship yesterday, and it spilled over. This is a over. This pot was boiling so hot, it was spilling over, and we got shut down yesterday. Praise the Lamb of God. See, now
it just started yesterday. The pot started boiling yesterday, but it will start cooking Monday.
Now look at all these people called in. Y'all wouldn't believe how many people is lighting up these lines trying to get in here. Y'all just hold on. I see you 586. I see you 630. Now, yesterday in our discussion, we was talking about men and women relationships. This, that, and another, and we got to a place, praise the Lamb of God, that we was talking about. We want to keep this in the love of God, people of God. Hallelujah. Let's do that now.
Amen.
And we was talking about these relationships and what have you, and why, praise the Lamb of God. Now, this is where I was at. I was talking about why women are so catty, praise the Lamb of God. That's what I hear, praise the Lamb of God, that caused a little tidal wave there, praise the Lamb of God. Why are they so catty?
Oh, yeah.
Praise the Lamb of God, as we went into our discussion. And, we went into some things. So then Stephanie comes on, she throws Britt over the couch and cell phone is stealing, and she catches cell phone and hijacks the show. So now we're allowing her, praise the Lamb of God, to have audience today so that we can keep peace out there in California, because they say don't for them to break off into the ocean out there, and we want to keep them safe. So,
yeah,
Stephanie, you have the mic is in your hand. It's hot, it's sizzling, it's red on my board.
All right.
Let's go. Okay. I just, you know, I have to be stand up for our women. Not really stand up, but just be kind of like, I feel like I needed to be a voice because I felt like, you know, we were drowning yesterday in all this madness with, you know, what was being said. And the first thing I wanted to address was the fact that you said women are catty, and why can't you bring another person into your space when you have your ex-wife and your other ex-wife? You know, why can't that woman be able to come into your space? And, you know, there's a lot of things that I wanted to address on this issue, because being in a marriage early on in my life, you know, Brett has to come into that same situation. And what I take on that is the fact that it's all about your upbringing. I think that's where the root starts. And if you're not used to that type of situation, then, of course, you're not going to be comfortable. You know, and I know Lily had called in and she said that, made mention, Lily, I love you, but I have to disagree with this. She made mention that the reason why women come into relationships and feel as if, you know, once the man does something that she has her guards up, or she's, how did she put it, she was insecure. I have to disagree with that. And the reason that I disagree is because no one comes into a relationship trusting the other partner 100%. Okay? That's number one. And
right, that has to be established.
It takes a lifetime, first of all, to even get to know a person. Me and Brett have been married, you know, for 7 years. There's still things about him that I'm still learning, you know. So I agree to a certain extent, yeah, women do come over into relationship with baggage from things that's happened in the past. But we're talking about real Christian women who have fallen on their knees, who have been delivered from all of that baggage.
Well, let me qualify something, Stephanie, before you go further, and you're absolutely right. But when this really goes both ways, and, you know, I said that yesterday, but I don't think everybody caught it, that, you know, men have baggage too. We have baggage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, if we've been in past relationships and past hurts and things of this nature, if we didn't purge right, praise the Lamb of God, then, of course, exiting, entering again, we will enter into the next relationship with some baggage. And that can serve as a problem in taking a relationship that deserves trust, that deserves, you know, the benefits of the doubt and things of this nature. It can make that type of relationship go into, you know, a whirlwind of things that should not be. All right, now go ahead. I just want to make that point that it goes both ways.
It definitely goes both ways, and I, you know, like I said, I agree with her to a certain extent, but also we have to know that coming into a relationship, you know, you have to earn trust. Trust is earned. You have to show somebody, you know, you just saying it, you know, what's the saying? I can show you better than I can tell you. You have to show it. You have to earn that trust in a relationship, okay? The second thing I wanted to address was the catty part. The catty part got me with the women. And, yeah, women, you know, we can't be catty. But at the same time, you have to step back and say, okay, men, and what dropped in my spirit, and I mean no disrespect, but men have egos, you know, and they carry their ego around. Not to say that you have an ego because you're sitting there with your ex-wife and your other ex-wife and the woman that you are currently with, but at the same time, it's in a man's nature to have an ego.
I concur, but let me set a scenario for you so that in my particular, I can only speak for me. You know, like the holidays come around. Well, my children, their relatives all basically live in Chicago. They have some in Denver and places like that, but that, you know, on their mother's side. So she has no relatives in Detroit. So what happens many holidays is, you know, like Thanksgiving was established years ago that it would always be at Dad's house. So every Thanksgiving, all the children come to my house. Grandchildren, everybody come to my house. It's established. And at a young age, my youngest son, praise the Lamb of God, when their mother and I separated and divorced, came to me and said, Dad, can Mom come? And of course, my flesh said no. But when I looked in his eyes, he said, nobody's going to be with Mom. I said, tell your mother she's welcome. So she came, you know, into that space when I didn't have another wife. So she has been coming, you know, almost every year. You know, if she didn't have nothing else to do, she knows she's invited to come. She's welcome to come. And we always made that known. When I, my second wife, praise the Lamb of God, when Cassandra and I got married, of course, we talked about it, and Cassandra said, well, you know, it feels strange to me, and I guess it's because, as you say, all of the stuff that I've heard about it, but in essence, as you're saying, she's never done nothing to me. I didn't do it, never done anything wrong to her. And Cassandra's idea was, two parents is better than one. Mm-hmm. And so she invited her in. So they've been coming, right, together and eating together and talking and laughing on holidays, Christmas, what have you, for the longest. So now if I bring another significant other in to try to, you know, penetrate and say, well, you know, I found somebody or I like somebody enough to bring them in too, this scenario, how will that person take it?
I totally agree with that, because that's the way when my mom and dad broke up, with my grandparents would have everyone at their house for the holidays.
Right.
My dad's wife, my mom, my mom's boyfriend at the time, whoever, everybody would just get along. That's the way I was raised. But then when I, in turn, got married, I tried to do the same thing, thinking it was acceptable because that's what I was used to. And Brent was like, oh, no, whoa, this ain't going down. You know, he couldn't understand. And it wasn't the fact that he didn't trust me, because I've never given him a reason not to.
Right.
Yes, we were still, you know, a couple years into our relationship. You know what I mean? There was a lot of family dynamics that were going into play at that time because, you know, a previous child and the ex-husband, and, you know, it was just a lot going on. So he has to learn. Now he talks to my ex-mother-in-law more than he probably talked to his own mother or my mother.
Wow.
But that's how, but you know what, but all I can say is only God can do it.
Only God can do it. You know, one of the things that I try to share, even in marriage consultations, divorce consultations, things of that nature, is, you know, just because we disagree, we don't have to be disagreeable. And we have to, somewhere as believers, watch this now, everybody, somewhere as believers, forgive.
Mm-hmm.
We have to, at some point, forgive. Praise the Lamb of God, and allow the past to be in the past.
Amen.
And watch this now. And look at who's really going to be affected by separation, divorce, or whatever, breakup of relationship. It's the children.
Yeah.
That's why it's so very important to watch who you bring into your children's circle and allow them to frequent with and play with and get to know, because children easily get attached.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then you get mad at them. You don't want them to be around your children no more, and the children are the ones hurt.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Because you're old enough to process it properly and deal with it. But the children are the one hurt. And when it comes mm-hmm. down to parents, we must be a team. If we have any sense, to do whatever we can do to finish raising these children if we've separated and divorced.
Amen.
We still have to raise these still our children. That's not, you know, we call it my baby mama and all of that, blah, 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 blah. But in essence, these are our children or our child. What is healthy for that mind is to see a friendly, loving relationship between mother and father, no matter what has happened between us. In front of that child, in front of my daughter, Gabriella, there is nothing that stands in between Cassandra and I showing love and talking to each other and laughing in front of Gabriella. We decided we would do that because it's healthy for her. Gabby
it's
is making A's
healthy.
In school.
Healthy,
she's not depressed.
Healthy.
She is enjoying both of our houses and everything and growing to understand that daddy and mom just don't live together, but they still like each other. They still care about each other. When love abides, praise the Lamb of God, when love abides, it will cover a multitude of faults. It also, praise the Lamb of God, will serve as the healer, the healing balm, praise the Lamb of God.
And, you know, I would say that's
have a happy and wholesome relationship. We mess up. Now, somebody, you know, might say I'm wrong, but both of my ex-wives got a happy Valentine's Day from me today.
Amen.
Why? Because I don't hate them. In my heart, I still love them. We just can't live together.
But let me ask you a question.
All right, boss.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Do you think that if you did have or if you do have a significant other in your space right now, how do you think that significant other would feel about you, you know, texting or calling or whatever, what have you, your ex-wife saying happy Valentine's Day? Because I don't really think my husband loves me.
I didn't call her.
I love him. What
I didn't call her and say, I love you, babe. I just said, happy Valentine's Day. That's it.
But I don't think Brett, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think that he will feel comfortable with me texting Jasmine's father and saying happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, no, that's not going to happen.
I don't think we arrived there yet.
You said that's not going to happen. But, Brett, it's because of the fact that we do not understand, praise the Lamb of God, the premise of love. And
Amen.
The premise of love is, praise the Lamb of God, when you look at the love of God, the whole package of it is forgiveness.
Oh,
yeah. I don't think I have a problem.
But I think it's more so on if the problem is here, Prophet, is that everybody is not on the same page. Everybody is not at the same level in Christ. Everybody is not where the other person is. So,
it's all of our responsibility to grow to become the sons of
God. It is, but if
and that have the love of God spreading abroad in our hearts, so that we won't have all this and these spirits of animosity.
That's in a perfect world, though. We don't live in a perfect world.
We live with a perfect God inside of us, though.
Yeah. We do, but the other person don't. Like,
well, that's a different scenario. I don't know that man. I don't know, you know, his intent. I don't know his heart and this, that, and another. But you have to understand the scenario that I shared with you all concerning all of us getting along, all of us being able to sit down and eat at the same table and do the blessings and I call their names and what have you, give the meaning of both of my ex-wives' names on Thanksgiving and what have you, and speak the blessing of Christ over them on Christmas if they're at the house. So this
I get that. I totally get that. That's a testimony in our household because Jasmine and Brett's relationship was not good at all. It was only until that love abided between the other side, her, that their relationship began to heal and began to blossom. So
right.
I totally agree with what you're saying.
Somebody has to break. Somebody has to come to a point to say, this is enough. Somebody has to be spiritual-minded and be able to look at the hearts and minds of the child or become the child and say, what would I want if I was that child? Well, I would really want my mother and father to be together. But more so than anything, I would want them to be able to get along. Get along for the sake of the child.
Mm-hmm. And that brings joy. It brought joy to her soul. And she was able to look at Britt in a different light and say, wow, you have love in your heart.
Our prison system is filled with young men who heard their mother say, your daddy is no good and you no good.
Mm-hmm.
Because they couldn't forgive him. He's no good after you done made love to him, had sex with him, had his babies, this, that, another. Now he's no good because you mad at him because something happened in your relationship. He may have chose somebody else over you. This may have happened. But somewhere at some time, you have to look at your child and let your selfishness go and say, you know what? True love is hurting for somebody else.
Yes.
I can hurt for my children. I can be uncomfortable for my children. And God give me the strength to be able to do it so that my children can have a sound mind so that they won't be sitting up. When they think about me, they think about a fight between their mother and I. When they think about her, they think about her raising a knife at me. When they think about me, they think about me walking, just handing them their gifts in the door and walking away. But when I can come in the house and say, hey, how you doing? How y'all doing? And hug her and go about my business and play with the children and what have you and be involved, this brings peace in the minds and the hearts and the spirits of the children. And that's what's important. Where your love really should be focused at and centered on instead of the selfishness that is all about me being happy.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus didn't die to make himself happy. He died
Amen.
So that we could have peace. Oh, somebody ought to say amen right there. Praise the Lamb of God.
Hallelujah.
You know, and Father, as you're saying, let me interject a little bit in here. I have two scenarios, and I'm going to be a little bit transparent here in my own relationship. You know, one of the reasons why women are so catty, and I think you said it yesterday, is because it's an issue that we have within ourselves. If we are secure within ourselves, then we're going to be secure in our relationship. No other woman can come in. I'm not afraid of another woman coming in and taking my boyfriend or taking my husband because I'm secure in my relationship with that man. When my husband and I separated, he had gotten with this other woman. And the first thing that came to my mind was, Lord, call fire down from heaven and burn the bed up while they both were in it. But I wanted God to bring judgment against that woman and not against my husband. And the Holy Spirit convicted me, and he told me, he said, Sandra, I can't do that because your husband is just as guilty as that woman.
Mm.
You don't know what your husband said to that woman. You don't know what lies he said to her to get her to enter into this adulterous relationship with him. So if I'm going to punish one, I have to punish them both. And then he began to tell me that in order for me to be free, that I had to love them both enough to pray for them.
True.
Mm-hmm.
True.
And I began to pray. He said, but Sandra, you can't just pray silently. You have to actually hear the words. You have to speak them out of your mouth. And I began to lift my husband up in prayer, and then eventually I began to lift the woman up in prayer. And it's a step. Love is
it's a
step.
It's a process.
Amen. Yes, it is.
You have to go through. You got to get on step one. And once you've secured step one, then the Holy Spirit will begin to take you to step two. But you have to be willing to allow the Spirit of the Lord to work through you, the love that God has for each of us.
When you really walk in the love of God, it's a daily sacrifice. Almost every day of the week, something presents itself to breed hatred in your heart.
Something presents
itself for you to have a callous in your heart against somebody about something they said, something they did, or some action. And we all have to come to the place, praise the Lamb of God, that we can lose our selfishness and die. When Abraham put his son on the altar and drew that knife back, Isaac wasn't on the altar. God didn't see Isaac. He saw Abraham on the altar.
He saw Abraham. Yes, he did.
He said, this ain't going to break Isaac's heart because he's not going to feel nothing no more. But this man is going to live with this sacrifice for the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm.
And we must understand what true love and true sacrifice really is. And a lot of us are so selfish and self-centered until we can't see beyond what we want and what we desire and what we got to have and what makes us happy. When we need to be looking out, praise the Lamb of God, and saying, you know what? If I do this, this would cause peace between them. If I did this, but even, you know, we get on the phone, we're talking to our ex, and they say something off, and we go off, and our children are sitting there like they watching television or playing with their toy. They listening to you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's being recorded, people of God. It's being recorded, and we got to come out of that. We got another caller. Praise the Lamb of God. Error code 661.
Hello, Prophet Shakespeare. This is Jermaine calling.
Uh-oh, I got another man on the line. I got another line, Jermaine. Yes, Mike.
First of all, I want to say happy Valentine's to everybody that's online that's listening. I'm here to speak the truth, and I want to discuss some things. I want to discuss some things about what society says about men dating, and I feel that men and women, when they go on a date, they should date Dutch. Now, a lot of people might be upset about this. I feel that you should go Dutch because
Jermaine, explain Dutch so everybody's not from my era. So you better say.
Let me explain.
This is way back in the day now, people.
when I speak upon the term Dutch, what I mean is a woman should pay for her meal, and a man should pay for his meal.
I disagree.
Now, I disagree, too.
I disagree, and I disagree, too.
I totally disagree.
I ain't going to let you get away with that today.
I ain't going to let you be in the night. I ain't going to let you. Hillary is not dead.
Whoever invites the next person out on the date, if a woman invites a man to go out to dinner, then I think the woman should pay because she invited him.
Whoever extends the invitation is supposed to take that deal.
I disagree because when you're dating, and this is, I'm glad you guys brought this up because I brought this up with my kids yesterday. When you're dating and you're, a man is ultimately supposed to pursue a woman, okay? The man sets the standard. Because he is modeling after the fact that he's going to potentially be the head of the household. Okay.
630, I see your call. Your mic is open, but let Stephanie finish speaking. 586, your mic is open, but please let Stephanie finish to speak.
Go ahead, Steph.
I just feel like a man should model after what the way it's supposed to be
in a potential marriage.
So what are you saying about the dating? Saying should the man pay for it or should he not?
Huh?
Should the man pay for the tab or should he not on a date?
On a date, I think that a man should pay for the tab. But I'm not saying that I don't, because I do. I do, you know, I'm married now. But when a man is pursuing a woman or when they're dating, I just think that they should model off of, depending on what they're looking for. I mean, I will hope that they will.
The first time you go on a date, if you're going on a real, all serious date,
but the man pay the bill.
Like you and a girl just hooking up. But when you go on a date, a man is supposed to show a woman. This is the first opportunity that a man gets to show that I can take care of you.
Yes.
Yes.
That's
and
what
I
it's
say,
all about.
And it should continue.
I can take care of you.
Yes.
And I'm willing to take care of you. I like you that much. That's why I asked you out on a date. I didn't like you. I didn't ask you out on a date to examine if I like you, because we wouldn't be on the date if I didn't like you.
And I wasn't willing to pay the bill. I wouldn't have asked you.
I'm willing to pay the bill because,
okay,
you know, that's the way that's supposed to be done.
Okay,
property.
And then always it's okay for the woman. If you're dating a woman for a period of time, this woman really says she loves you. She should have a problem in taking you out on a date and pay.
No problem at all. Or take. I mean, and once you get married or engaged, she can take you to another country and pay for it. Baby, I'm taking all paid vacation. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying when you first start dating someone, I don't think that a woman should pay for dinner. I think
we agree with you 100%. 100%. Wait a minute. 630. Your mic is hot. Who's calling?
This is Shatwan.
Good morning. Good afternoon, Shatwan. What you got to tell us?
I agree totally that the man should pay for the tab.
I know you're going to say that. Go ahead.
Well, because he's courting. He's the one to pursue the woman. The woman.
And what is the woman doing if the man courting? What y'all doing?
Enjoying the ride.
That's right. And as the relationship progresses, then yeah, fine. It's okay. You can take him out on a date. You can pay. That's fine. That's not an issue. But it should not be an issue where, see, the problem is too many women have paid up front. And you have taught these men how to treat you, which now when you go on a date, they expect
Hold your horses. Let me tell you what happened. Let me give you a case scenario so you understand, because it's not always that way. My daughter went on a date one time with a guy, and she said, "Dad, I like him, but I don't know this, that, and I said, "Well, you know, is you afraid of him?" "No, Dad, he's a nice guy. I ain't worried about that." I said, "Well, go on the date." And then I said, "Here," and I gave her a $50 bill. I said, "But pay for your own food."
True.
And she said, "Why, Daddy? You want to take me out?" I said, "No, that way you don't owe him nothing."
That's true.
See, because a lot of guys move into, "I paid for your food, I paid for the movie, paid for this, I paid for the flowers, I paid for that. What you going to give me?"
Well,
exactly.
That's not the
woman's
spirit. God is God's truth. We have a right to say, you know what? No, I'm not doing it.
Women have been raped
away.
Of that. That's the honest God
exactly.
truth. Women have been raped over. I done spent all this money on her, then she's just going to tell me good night.
That's the truth.
You have to understand. Now, if the man is pursuing you, and he may not have even asked you out, he may just be pursuing you and, you know, you sat down and you began to talk. You talk on the phone, you know, and a week or two go by and you're still talking. And it may be that the woman may want to go out and get to know him just a little bit better, and she may invite him out. But if she invited him out, she should pay because she extended the invitation.
Well, first of all, when a man is...
Wait a minute, hold on. The problem with women is we always go into these things searching for relationships right off the bat. That's why we get caught up in so much drama, because we don't take the time to get to know the gentleman before we begin to open our hearts up and let the feelings flow out. Then
well,
we
that, that poses another question, though, Sandra. How soon should a woman date a guy when she from the time she meet him?
Well, my estimation is it takes 2 weeks. You can cover
hey,
up
prophet.
Anything in 2 weeks. After the second week, his true colors begin to shine through. You begin to see then exactly how he is and who he
okay.
is.
All right, now it was a man.
Okay,
I heard
prophet.
A man's voice. What'd you say?
Hey, okay, prophet. Now here's my other scenario. I see I got everybody going on this topic. But here's
yeah, you
my
do.
Next one. Here, here's my next topic. Okay, now, the man says, okay, let's go to McDonald's.
No, 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 wait a minute, though. Wait a minute. You jump it ahead, you put in the car before the horse. How long, Jermaine, Brett, Stephanie, all of you, how long should it take before a woman accepts a date from a man or a man go on a date? Should I be able to meet somebody in Myers? I'm going to the grocery store, look across, our eyes connect, we feel a little chemistry, blah, 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 blah. She smiles, I smile, we walking down the aisle shop, blah, blah. I get to the register, blah, blah. Ironically, we're at the same register at the same time and checking out, whether she timed it, I timed, whatever, we there, blah, blah. We start talking and blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, you know, I say, hey, I really would like to get to know you better. She says, okay, blah, 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 blah. So we exchange numbers or whatever, blah, blah. To my surprise, that next day or so, she calls. She calls me. We talk, blah, 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 blah. How long should we talk and try to get to know each other before somebody say, hey, you want to go out?
It depends on the chemistry. It depends on the chemistry with that person. It depends on the spirit of discernment, because you're gonna
yes,
tell
how comfortable you feel.
Oh, girl,
exactly.
I'm gonna and then if a man, if he a real man, he's gonna say, if I wanna take this young lady out, I'm gonna pay the bill. It ain't no dust or none of that. When you dating a woman for a certain period of time, it's gonna change. I've been with my wife long enough to know that she can pay the bills some days, and I, you know what I'm saying. But I paid a lot of bills before. But that's what I pursued her. This is the woman that I wanted to be with. So I made the effort. I got a track record of doing what I need to do to make this woman comfortable with me. You know what I'm saying? And it's a process of a man. You got to be a man. It's just that simple.
You're saying that being a man, but let's look at reality. We have a lot of men that are out of
control. Somebody has a lot of noise in the background. Please mute your mic if you're not talking so that we won't have to hear all the background noise. Go ahead.
You say that in reality about being a man, but a lot of things have changed. The man's role has changed today from what it used to be, because now you have more women that are carrying the load right now.
Yes.
But the principle still remains the same. The principle
never
changes. It never changed.
It might not be.
My husband right now, he's not in the role that he was in a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. He's not in that role, but the fact still remains that he is my husband. He is still the head of my household. He still is the one that I go to lean on, to get the support, to say, okay, babe, this is how we're going to do it, A, B, C, or D. And I fall in line. And he's right now not paying all the bills. But the principle still remains the same.
Let me ask you this. Will you still be with your husband if he's trying his all to provide an income and he's getting turned down from jobs because, you know, it just so happens that, you know, he's not able to find a job in his area?
Absolutely.
And you have to take on the role of, you know, the income and everything. And, you know, a lot of women are not going to stand by the man like that if he is not bringing in some type
226, your mic is hot. Please wait till this man finishes speaking. Go ahead, Jermaine.
Yeah, I just feel that most women, I'm not saying all, most women are not going to stick by their man if he's not bringing in an income into the home to help pay for bills or whatever, groceries or whatever. But, you know, I do feel that.
Wait a minute. Most women will if they know that this man has been a provider,
yes,
and that he is trying his best to find work or to do something.
That's true. A woman with a mind
will just look at him and say, well, we've been married for 10 years, and for 9 whole years, this man has footed the whole load, let me shop, let me go buy shoes and whatever with my paychecks, and I just paid the light bill or something like that, or when he told me he needed it, I gave him, you know, the check so that we could accomplish something like, you know, go to Paris for 2 weeks or something, you know, something I really wanted to do. But this man has been the man. He surprised me with mink coats at Christmas and my ring and this. He has been the man, but now he's laid off his job. I just don't think that a woman is just going to say, I'm leaving him.
I don't think that either. And
if she's nothing but a gold digger, she'd do that.
She's a chaser.
She is a manipulator, and she never loved him. If a woman loves her, she is going to stand by that rascal.
That's right.
Go through hell with him and wait on the sun to shine again.
And still love him through it all. And still treat him like the man of the house that he should be. That's right. It's different in the beginning. Brett didn't even jump in to help you.
Some parameters as people of God. If you're going to meet somebody, try to get to know all you can before you walk out of that door to go on a date. Then, even in that process, make sure the date is a public date. You don't go to a man's house for dinner on the first date.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all know what kind of call that is.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
It's
the setup for sex right there.
Yes, it is.
That's a setup. So you know.
Amen.
We need to have some wisdom.
And this wisdom needs to be disseminated to our children.
It needs to be disseminated, especially down to our girls, that, you know, you take a guy through a little process before you say, I'll come over, this, that, or another. Because, you know, some of these guys, I have no scruples. They have not taught anything. You know, one of the things I tried to teach my daughter is in the checking out is to see what kind of home he come out of.
Mm-hmm.
See, because I believe that the chip does not fall. Got a lot of noise in the background. Please mute. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. I can hear cars and all of that. We have to come to a place of recognizing when we talk to our daughters and stuff, and even our sons, to check the background, check what kind of home that they come from. You know, what was their upbringing? Talk to them about that. Don't be talking about, yeah, I like you too. Yeah, you got nice eyes. Oh, your hair. Oh, your hands. That's all out of appearance. That leads to nothing. The flower faded. You want to know about what their schooling, their education.
Mm-hmm.
How you doing in school? Oh, my grades, but forget school. Okay, when he said forget school, that's one mark for you to say forget you. What I'm saying? Some of them eliminate themselves if you just know how to have the right conversation with them.
That's right.
Qualify themselves from a date.
They go both ways, Prophet. They disqualify themselves too.
Well, I'm saying that. I say it for our sons and our daughters that we need to have that conversation with them, because sometimes it's just outlandish and it's sitting right there in our face what we should be able to see, but we're blinded by the light of what you call that thing? Infatuation. Blinded by infatuation.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get infatuated and you can't see through the cloud, call it lust or whatever you want to, but if you can't see through that cloud at what really is, you may be in for a long ride.
Mm-hmm. You're so right, Prophet. Even you know, you have some that they look so good on the outside, and as soon as they open their mouth, they don't have an articulate bone in their head. But yet, still, because he looks so good, we still gonna date him. Just don't talk. Just nod your head yes, and then shake it for no. You know. But we have to teach our children that. My daughter was so infatuated with this young man in school because he was so cute. Mama, he's so cute. I said, uh-huh. But what is Gray's looking like? Well, he ain't all that smart. I said, I don't want no dumb grandkids. You got to move on from this one.
Wow. Wow, let me open this mic. Erica 614.
Good afternoon, Prophet. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Happy Valentine's Day to you.
Happy Valentine's Day to you as well and everyone else. I just want to say, and this is my opinion, we as believers in Christ should never follow after the world and how they view things, how they see things, and how they do things. When we see how the world is doing things and what they are saying, we should always do the opposite. Dating is not in the Bible, but however, the word says that either we marry or we remain as chaste as Christ and focus on the kingdom. We should never date just to date. We should never date for companionship. I believe that when we are dating someone, we are viewing this person as potential mates for life. So if we are dating, then the man should be paying for the meal because, as Stephanie said, he is portraying himself or he is It's basically showing you if he could take care of you. Now, I believe before you even get to that point, you should remain friends. Friends will show you who they are right away. Once you see somebody as a friend and they're showing you, you're going to know whether or not you like this or you can deal with their idiosyncrasies, their personality traits. And if you can, then you move into the courting stage. The courting stage is where you are setting yourself up or preparing yourself to go on a date with this person. Courting and dating for me is two different things. Courting is I like you enough, but I'm not sure if I want to date you. Dating is I like you and I view you as potential marriage material. And once you get to the courting stage, if a woman feels comfortable with paying for herself, that's fine. Because she doesn't, like you said, Angel didn't know if she liked this guy or not. If you don't know you like someone or not, you're just trying to figure them out, yes, you want to pay for yourself because you don't want to fall into the trap. You don't want to get caught up. You don't want to feel stuck. But once you move into the dating stage, that man is saying, yes, I view you as marriage material, so I need to take care of you. Now, once you get into marriage or the engagement phase, however, a man should never be willing or wanting a woman to pay for anything or to take care of anything. If she chooses to say, you know what, I want to surprise him or, you know, I want to help him, then it's okay in those circumstances. But in dating, I believe a man should always pursue and take care of the woman. A woman should never pursue a man. And if that man is looking for you to pursue him, then a lot of other things are going to come that you're not going to be happy with, you're not going to like, so just walk away.
Amen.
Sometimes a lot of that is taken out of perspective, though, when it comes down to dating and what have you. The biblical view of marriage was because of their philosophical view in the historical cultural setting that they were set in. It was a custom of the Jews. It wasn't ordered by the Bible. It wasn't a part of the Ten Commandments or the Levitical laws on how a mate is to be chosen. But because of business arrangements and things of this nature, the fathers of patriarchs and what have you, if you read closer, you would see that a lot of the marriages and what have you, as they were arranged, were business transactions almost. They wanted someone to come in that could handle business, that had something to offer, and that could bring prosperity to their family in marrying their daughter, such as the case with Jacob and Laban. You see that repeatedly in the Bible as they choose their mates and this, that, and another. You will see a lot of choosing of mates without there being love involved in it when it comes down to the two people that was getting married. That also was a custom during a certain time. And our philosophical culture that we live in, that is not the way marriage happens. So we must take on a different initiative as believers, seeing that your father ain't going to walk up and just say, here, this is the man I want you to marry. Now, through prayer and revelation, God can show you who your husband is.
Exactly.
God can show a man who his wife is. God can speak that. That's why it's so important for our prophetic ears, praise the Lamb of God, our prophetic eyes, ears, and inner spirit to be in constant relationship with God, praise the Lamb of God, and not with lust and desire. If we are in relationship with the Father, praise the Lamb of God, the Lord will reveal to us, praise, as our Heavenly Father, he will reveal to us who that person is. But then, praise the Lamb of God, as Lily has said, the pursuing of a man is definitely unbiblical, but at the same time, we must not take responding to a man as pursuing. Because Some women will just be cold and say, no, just no response, even after they've talked to them. And sometimes men, when we make the initial contact and this, that, and another, if you don't respond, well, she ain't text, she ain't said this, she ain't said, we're going about our business.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
You know, you have to understand that there's a response and then there's pursuing. So don't take those out of context. Our philosophical, our cultural setting that we live in America demands a different style. And so, therefore, the believer has to pursue and use all your spiritual giftings, praise the Lamb of God, that's possible to secure, praise the Lamb of God, who you're supposed to be with and what have you, and don't take yourself into a psych out, because we psych ourselves out many times, praise the Lamb of God, about these issues. Somebody, we'll meet a person and then we'll just psych ourselves out, you know, and say, oh, I know this is the one, I know this is the one, I know this is the one, when God has not spoken.
Amen.
Hello? Hello? Ding dong, the witch got just fell over.
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to tell them any way it goes, the Lord.
I can only speak, like, from my own personal experience.
Who's speaking?
This is Stephanie.
Okay, Stephanie.
From my relationship with my husband, I was single when I met him. And my husband pursued me to the point to where he caught me every single day, several times a day, and still does from the very first day that I met him over 10 years ago. So when you talk about pursuing and response, yeah, I responded by answering my phone, but I wasn't the one that was constantly, what's up, can we go out, can we get together, you know, can
right.
we, it wasn't like that. He came and approached me, you know, can I take you out, can we do this, can we go here, calling me, you know, several times a day. That's the pursuit that I think that women should look at, not the fact that, okay, you might be liking a guy or you might be, you know, wanted to go out, but I don't think that, okay, if you guys go out on the first day, he pays for your date, okay, you liking him or whatever, you call him and invite him out the next day. I don't think it should be a repeated thing. I don't think you should constantly say, okay, let's go out, let's do this. No, let him do that. That's a part
exactly.
of history. You know, and I think the fact that women are so easily, just like you said, you meet somebody at the store, okay, let's go out the next night. No.
So, okay, I concur. Now, Jermaine, let me tell you something. You mentioned McDonald's. I'm going to tell you something that happened to me that was a joke and that lasted for 15 years. The first Valentine's Day of Gabby's mother and I, when we went on a date, the first Valentine's
mm-hmm.
Day, my son Timothy, his birthday is tomorrow. And I was going out of town to minister, so I had him with me for his birthday, as celebrating his birthday on Valentine's Day. And so Timothy was with me, and I picked her up, and I was going to do some stuff with Timothy, and I was going to drop him off this, that, and another. So, and I was going to take her out to dinner and what have you for Valentine's Day. We ended up, Timothy was hungry. So we went to McDonald's, and she wound up eating at McDonald's, and I wound up eating at McDonald's. And then later on that evening, we was too full from McDonald's. We didn't want to go out and eat. So every year, on Valentine's Day, we would go to McDonald's.
Aww.
That's what we would do. Her and I, we would go to McDonald's. So now what were you saying, Jermaine, about McDonald's?
Well, what I was saying is that if a man says, okay, let's go to a McDonald's or a Burger King, then the male is being pursued as cheap because he's taking his date out to McDonald's or Burger King, and most likely a woman is going to judge about where he's taking his woman out to as far as just going out to eat. And I just feel that, you know, it shouldn't matter where you go out to eat, it's because you're trying to get to know each other. That's basically
I think if you're saying, let's go out to dinner, and then she gets in the car and she's ready to go out to dinner, and then you say you want to go to Burger King, I think
right.
If not a
turn around and take me right back.
Not a dinner place. I mean, that ain't dinner, that's lunch.
Okay, well,
if you take it out to lunch and then you say, hey, what you want to eat? You know, I was thinking about a Whopper. Let's just go sit at Burger King and talk. That may not be taken wrong, especially depending on the age and this, that, and another. You know, some people, when they get a certain age, they can't stomach fast food. Burger King don't work for me no more. So, one man, I never worry about it.
And no, it doesn't. I'm against fast food. I'm against fast food. But I'm just using it as an example. But then I'm also saying this too, because a lot of times we're looking at, okay, we should have the best of this, we should have the best of that. But what women or men might not know, even though he's telling you to go out to a McDonald's or Burger King or something, you might find out that this man might own McDonald's, but then that changes everything about that man, because it's saying, okay, he owns a McDonald's, but why is he telling me to go to McDonald's? Maybe this man is trying to see what the woman is going to say and see if this woman just doesn't care about, you know, what fancy restaurant we should go to. And I think, you know, we got to look at what's on the inside first of a person before we can judge a person about where he or she goes.
But
that's just go back to game plan. Like we talked about yesterday. That's too much game plan. You know, mean what you say, say what you mean. Women have standards, and I'm sure men have too. When women are looking to date for a potential husband, as Lily said, because, you know, when you dating, you don't date just to be dating. You're dating because you're thinking in your mind, okay, you know, you want to be married.
Can you stick a pin right there, right? Because I want to inject something that I think will really, really take the conversation to a great place. And that is, you know, I call no name, I bear no blame, but I have some associates, I would say, just like that, some associates who don't want to be married. They don't want to be married. And they will go on a date with a woman. And, of course, dating should be, as you said, viewed as a potential mate. And they will tell a woman, well, I'm not trying to get married right now. Should that woman, knowing this, let that be the last date, or what does she?
If that's what if she's looking to get married, absolutely. Well, I mean, because what's the point? You know, you already told me you don't want to get married. You just want to date, and you think just us dating, then dating, you think that's going to lead to something else. That you're just going to be. It's not going down like that. I want to get married. I'm not going to give myself to you. Because you just want to date and have different. Yeah. That's the problem.
You're looking for heartache if you continue going that route. Cause, so, I mean, you know, there's always an exception to a rule. That man might, some men eventually will change their mind with the right woman. But that's the exception and not the rule. The rule is generally, if a man tells you up front that he doesn't want to get married, he believes him. And he doesn't want that, and you want that, then walk away because you're going to set yourself up for heartache. If down the line he changes his mind and says, you know what, I'm looking to marry, and, you know, we had a great first date, and, you know, I want to take you out again and see how this goes, then, you know, so be it. Like my mom always said, if it's not meant to be, let it go. If it comes back to you, then you'll know.
It's meant to be, right. Yeah.
But as the man, I feel that the man, you know, I just feel that a man, like you said, he should know whether the woman is sincere about getting married, because if you're leading this man on and he's, you know, continuing dating And, you know, he's buying food, he's buying flowers, he's buying for the movies, he's buying new things and stuff like that. And this woman is not interested in this man. I just feel there's a lot of mixed emotions going on between the couples, because I feel like this man, if you've been dating for 2 years or 3 years or whatever you want to call it as a relationship, and then this woman says, I'm not interested in you, and he's continuously buying things, and he says, well, I'm ready to get married, but then she says, I'm not interested. I mean, I just feel that, you know, a lot of things needs to be addressed at the table, because, you know, a man can spend a lot of money on a woman if he truly loves her.
But
so
see,
I just feel that, and that's vice versa.
That, man.
You
got to recognize
this,
it. You got to recognize
this is when it's scared.
But I just feel that a woman should accept, you know, large amounts of gifts, personal gifts, if, you know, this man feels like he really loves you, and all of a sudden it's like, you know, she has no explanation of why or, you know, or anything like that. She doesn't love you. I just feel that everything needs to be addressed on the table, because, you know, if that's the case, you don't accept large amount of gifts. That's just,
well, I think a man should not give large amounts of gifts without knowing that a woman is in love with him.
Yes.
If a woman ain't I'm in love with you, then why are you going out buying her expensive jewelry, mink coats, like that? If you're trying to impress on that level, you rolling dice.
I think
Jermaine, that you put too much pressure right now, even in your conversation on woman, because the woman didn't tell you to go buy her a mink coat. If you go out and buy a woman a $10,000 mink coat, and I'm just saying that's an extravagant gift.
Then you need your head examined.
Thank you. And she has not told you, I'm in love with you. If she has not, I'm talking about, I ain't just saying, you know I love you, don't you? You say, yeah, I know you love me, baby. But if she, an intimate setting, tells you, I am in love with you, man, if you haven't received that type of feelings and emotions, then if she take that coat from you because you bought it, and she ain't never told you she in love with you, and then 2 months later you want to say, hey, you know, let's get married, and she say, well, you know, no, I'm not ready for that yet, and you want a trip, boo, boo, boo.
I'm being honest.
Well, no, I'm talking about if you've been with the lady, I'm stating 3 or 4 years, and, you know, you've been dating, and you know you love each other, and she's stating that I love you, but then she's still not ready to take it to the next level, you know, as far as, you know, you know each other as far as, you know, what you do, how you do things and everything, and you're capable of taking care of your the lady friend or whatever. I just feel, and then if she says, well, I'm not interested in you like that, you know, after you have said I love you.
Man, above all things, get an understanding.
That's right. I think that if you have not used your discerning spirit in 3 years,
conversation. You jump out and do something that crazy.
Right.
Come on, people of God. I mean, you have to just have enough sense to say, hey, look here now. What is it that you, what is your plan for life?
Exactly.
Yes.
At some point.
I don't think that it takes 3 years for you to know if that's the woman that you want to be with. In a certain period of time, if you're not going in the same direction, then you should cut it off, because you're wasting your time. You could be that 7, 10 years, and she still may not ever want to marry you. But your experience should kick in at some point and let you know that this is not the woman you're wasting your time, or this is not the man.
The only reason why two people should be in a relationship and that has tenure to it is that I'm in love with this woman, but there's just some things that has to change. Or she's saying, you know, I love him, but, you know, he has this idea that, you know, about this, that, another, and I'm not conforming to that. Mm-hmm. And I can see somebody waiting on somebody to say, you know what, I'm willing to give up that lifestyle, or I'm willing to do this or do that in order, if you are in love with a person. And see, when you're not involved with somebody, you can say anything we want to say. But when you're in love with somebody, it's a totally different thing.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
It ain't easy just to say, okay, I'm out. It ain't that easy.
Right.
Yes. So let's be realistic about it, because it's not that easy to just pull a tooth on, you know, I'm just going to pull this tooth by, you know, that no. Because when you're in love with someone and, you know, this person and you have had great times together, this, that, another, blah, 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 blah. But there is something there that's precluding you from going to the next level. And it could be that this person's attitude needs to change about something, or or something of that nature, you know, and for them to be able to see you as the person you are beyond all the love and everything, because that's what you're going to have to live with, see. And some people want to rush in with angels dare to tread. Some people want to just say, okay, we've been together. It shouldn't be based on time. It should be based on penetration. Have I went to the place in this person's heart, in this person's mind, and in this person's life that we're ready to cut a cake? Because that's what you're going to have to deal with the rest of your life. And a lot of times people get married, and I know Stephanie said this in the beginning, and I know it's a continual learning experience, but people get married and vaguely know each other.
Right.
Vaguely know each other. And don't even really know what one's life is all about, the complications of one's life, and what it consists of. What do you really do? What do you really have going? All of that has to come. Do I want to be involved with this? Does it call for me to surrender my personal goals and enter into your goal for life? What does it take for us to become one? Those are questions that people have to ask before you just jump off and say, come on, let's get married just as is.
Amen.
That's like just buying a car on a lot or from somebody, just take it as it is, and you drive away. And next week, you need a new transmission and an engine.
But no warranty on it.
Because you didn't check the car out.
Where's the bell? Ring the bell. Ring the bell. Ring, 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 ring.
Ding, 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 dong.
Hello, light bulb.
Hello, all the lights. Praise the Lamb of God. Shut the door. Shut the window. Shut the office door. Shut the back door. And shut the closet door. Praise the Lamb of God. God will make us free. And there's too many of us. Let me tell you something. There's too many of us that live in the hall of imagination and fantasy. That we want something that does not really exist.
Amen.
Now, like I said yesterday, when you walk down the street, you ain't going to hear music when you holding hands. When you wake up in the morning, there ain't going to be no violin player standing next to the bed trying to swell the breeze.
Radio.
She said the radio. If it go off, praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. And the way she look on the date, she ain't going to look like that in the morning.
Ain't not
look like that when she go to bed.
You right.
She may start looking like your grandmama.
Once we got you, it's over.
You know, and saying that there's some things that you have to accept and conform to that makes a relationship really work. And if you don't love her with a scarf and rollers on her head, you don't love her when she dressed up.
Yeah.
You're looking at. But if you don't love her with her makeup off, then you don't love her.
That's right.
Amen.
See me at
Amen.
My worst and love me then.
If you don't love her while she has the flu, you don't love her while she's well.
Amen.
Come on,
Amen.
Now, low life buzz, if you're not willing to clean up her vomit, if you're not willing to change the sheets and have to wash her up in bed, then you don't love her. You ain't in love with her.
Mm-mm.
Playing games.
Amen.
Somebody ring that bell.
Ding, 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 ding.
Ding, ding, with the woman. You looking at triceps, biceps, myceps, yourself, your mental self, and all of this. How about when I stop doing sit-ups and all the muscles relax?
Damn.
And that belly fall over my belt line.
What you doing?
I mean, this is the real deal.
It's the real deal.
The back of your arm becomes flabby. Are you going to love me then?
Amen. Amen.
What happens if I lose one of my legs? Are you going to push me? Or are you going to push me down the stairs? Or are you going to leave me in my wheelchair or leave me in the operating room and go run off with whoever the next victim is?
Come on, man.
Let's deal with what real love is.
Amen.
That's real right there. That's real.
Hello, light bulbs. Hello, light bulbs. Praise the Lamb of God.
What's going on?
No, we have to come to a place of understanding, praise the Lamb of God, that love, true love is not a game.
Amen.
It's not a game. We are playing with the hearts and minds of people. Praise the Lamb of God. We must come to a place of understanding, praise the Lamb of God, that everybody that we encounter is not your husband or your wife.
That's right.
Amen.
Not even a potential husband and wife, and you have to know that. Praise the Lamb of God. You have to realistically come to a place. Praise the Lamb of God. Just because somebody tell you that they in love with you does not necessarily mean that you're in love with them.
Amen.
Y'all got quiet on that one.
Amen.
Praise the Lamb of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because there are some people's infatuation level goes to such an extreme until they're fanatical.
Yeah.
They're fanatical. And you have to, people of God, have your head on straight, praise the Lamb of God. Have your heart in place. You got to keep your heart in your chest.
Yes.
When you take your heart out of your chest and lay it on the table and say it's yours, you are being too vulnerable. Unless, as Beyonce say, you should have put a ring on it.
Amen.
Hello, light bulbs. When rings are exchanged, then you can start talking about my whole heart is yours, this, that, another, blah, 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 blah. But I think even in, y'all ain't going to like me now when we got a few more minutes. Let me tell you this, tomorrow is going to be Prophetic Friday. Praise the Lamb of God, because today is the love day. We just being the love doctor today, but tomorrow we're going to be prophesying and stuff on the show. Praise the Lamb of God, so I don't want you to miss your prophetic Thursday. We're just going to move it inside of intercessory prayer tomorrow. So make sure you spread the word on that. Praise the Lamb of God. But just let me say this to you. Praise the Lamb of God. I believe that when people are dating, this me now, I said dating, that an understanding need to be made when you're dating, with whoever you're dating, that I still have an option to date somebody else.
Amen.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
I just courting. I said dating. There's a difference. If you go on a date with a man, praise the Lamb of God, you haven't signed no contract.
Not a one.
And I think people who are dating and people who are courting, sometimes courting is more serious than marriage.
Yes, it is.
There's some of these people got some courting and dating arranged. When the average person who get killed, one man that kill a woman or something, the woman they got on CNN right now, that open court case, she shot that boy and stabbed him repeatedly or shot him all them time. It's brutal murder. That is on CNN. Praise the Lamb of God. It's an open court case. Praise God. They weren't even married.
Right.
That's too serious in dating. You too serious. You too deep in dating that you so in love with somebody that you're going to kill them if they cheating. In what you call cheating. You better keep your mind open and stop tripping off people. See, if it was established from the beginning, when you say it's going to be only you that I'm going to date, only you that I'm going to see, I'm going to call you, you check my telephone, you better put a ring on this.
I know.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen, amen.
That's all I'm saying, too.
Put a ring on this. That's ownership. You're going to holler at me through the phone, asking me where I'm at, who is that in the background, and you're not married to me? You better put a ring on this, and it better be a nice one.
That's right.
Ownership.
Ding, 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 ding.
Hello, and put my name on your bank account.
Wait, Prophet. Wait, Prophet. You talking about the woman? She put a ring on the man?
No. Believe in double ring ceremony. I want to wear, when I get married again, I'm wearing a ring on my finger. I want every woman in the world to know I'm married.
Oh, man.
Praise God.
That's just me. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. If I have to buy the ring myself,
amen.
I want to be branded. I'm married.
Amen.
Amen.
Hello, ain't no shame to my game. Do I'm not going to marry you?
I claim it.
If you don't want nobody to know you married, then
you
something wrong with you. You're a secret agent. You got going. You living a double life.
Yes.
Wear a ring and honor your man or honor your woman to say I'm married. Something wrong with you.
That's right.
You're dishonoring your wife and your women if you're not wearing your ring and you're married to her. You're dishonoring her and you're dishonoring God.
Yes.
Because you're not respecting.
If you're on an airplane going out of town, you take your ring off your finger, you cease to be married. In your own heart. Something wrong with you. I got quiet on that one.
A man will take his ring off if he's working a laborious job.
That's a different story, though. A woman will, too. Yeah. I don't expect a woman to go in a coal mine, what have you, work it, and keep a big diamond on her finger that she know she can knock one of the diamonds out.
Or washing dishes.
A man can be working in an office and keep his ring on his finger.
Oh, yeah,
hello?
The office, most definitely. You have to have it.
All right, so then I'm saying, but in most cases, you can keep your ring on your finger. But men who work in factories and stuff like that, they may have to remove it because of something that they handle. Not that it's
but the moment you're done work.
But it might hurt their hand and what they have to grab and hold on to and this, that, and another. I understand that when I go golfing, I used to have to take my wedding band off because the golf club and all of that, the way, you know, it made my swing different. So I took it off so that my hands can be free and the pressure wouldn't be on that finger because that's the finger that really holds the club.
Amen.
Yeah. So there are times when you have to remove, but I'm saying this gameplay of the mind that I don't want nobody to know I'm married because I want to be free to flirt. That's what I'm talking about. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. We must come to a place, praise the Lord, hallelujah, to bring ourselves into a mindset of understanding what marriage is. If I'm going to live like I'm married from the day I meet you, then I should have married you on the first day.
Amen. Amen.
Nothing to look forward to. Hello, light bulbs. I have nothing to look forward to. Because after we say I do, what's going to change? We're going to move to the same house. We've been shacking all the time.
That's right.
What's going to change?
A whole bunch of problems
I got a report
that you didn't have when you was, you when
all
you
the time.
Yourself not being married.
You didn't call me 8 times a day to ask me where you at, where you going, what you doing, who you with. So I'm reporting you anyway. I'm already married to you. That may be the reason why a lot of relationships don't end up in marriage.
Very true.
Sometimes showing that you care but don't care, I love you, yeah, but I'm not chasing you down, calling you every hour, every 3 hours, or texting you every 30 minutes to this, that, or another. I'm not doing that.
Amen.
No. No. You are free because I trust me and I trust the God in me.
Amen.
And whatever is going on in you is going to be revealed.
That's right.
It's
like
just a matter of time. It's going to be revealed. And if a guy calls you and says, well, I met this girl, and she texts me, and she texts me, and she talks, and she made me feel that she loved me more than you, all you got to do is say deuces. Go on, handle your business.
Mm-hmm.
Because after he marry her, 3 years down the road, that text going to become a burden.
Mm-hmm.
Them calls going to become a burden. Praise the Lamb of God. Boy, oh boy, have I enjoyed this show. Woo!
Yes.
Amen.
My God, somebody's going to listen to this tonight and send an offering. Praise the Lamb. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb. Marriage is as close to, I'm going to use the word, contractual partnership, covenant partnership. Vows have been made to one another. Vows have been made to the Lord. Praise the Lamb of God. Dating and courting should not be that serious.
Amen.
Amen.
We had a wrong philosophical view of dating and courting. And it's really a manipulation game. Praise the Lamb of God. Do we have more people at the altar get married?
Not only that, the websites, I mean, you know, they're playing, it's such a business with dating and webs, and people have to go online for websites to find people. And I just feel that if you can't find anybody in your community, I just feel personally that there's something wrong. You should be able to find somebody in your community. Why would I want to go on the website and somebody else is out of town or somewhere else, I have to go meet them? That doesn't make any sense.
I tell you this. For the most part, people that's on them dating sites and stuff, if they would change their personality, they'll find somebody in their workplace. They'll find somebody in their church. It's something wrong with you that you got to go on dating sites to get a date. It ain't nothing wrong with the world. It's something wrong with you. You need to get your spirit. You need to get rid of that funky attitude that you have. You need to remove yourself from rolling your eyes and acting out in public, saying anything that you want to say out of your mouth. Adjust yourself. Anybody can fall in love with somebody that they never met. You can easily get on the internet and chat and this, that, another, say, I really like this person. But when you meet them and their spirit is not right.
Come on now.
Hello, light bulbs.
You right.
Amen.
When you meet them and their disposition is funky, that's a whole different thing.
Okay.
Hello. Praise the Lamb of God. It's been a good show. I love you all. We're out of time. It's 2:00. Say thank you for lighting the air up. What's his name? Jermaine. Thank you.
I love everybody. God bless you.
All of y'all. I can't call all your name. Brett. Thank you, brother man, for being here with me. I love you guys. Listen, we gonna push this relationship to the max. Until we're going to have a relationship day every week. Praise the Lamb of God. Brett and Stephanie will be hosting that. And
amen. Woo-hoo.
Praise the Lamb of God. Somebody say, yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, you guys.
Clouds have rolled away. The sunshine is here to stay. My sins have been forgiven. Now I can move on. Do God's work and walk in victory. Faith has been restored. I was blind, now I see. The perfect will that my God has for me. I rejoice because I'm
sin.